We are once again in Psalm 119, the wonderful Word of God, working on our Hebrew letter Teth, verses 65 through 72. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, verses 65 through 72, let's read these eight verses all together. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. All right, here we are. Psalm 119. Look at verse 68. This is a wonderful thing because it's a truth that we need to remember each day. My dad, many of you got to meet my dad. He likes to go with that saying that people say, it's kind of a responsive saying, where everybody's, or someone says, God is good, and the people respond, and then he says, all the time. Yes, and so you understand that, and that's something we need to remember each and every moment of each and every day. God is nothing but good. Okay, he is good. If you want a definition for good, it's God. Okay? And so you understand that when David says these things about God, he says, thou art good. Okay? I mean, that's just it. And then he says, and doest good. What more could you want from God? And somewhat of a definition for good is this, complete or sufficiently perfect in its kind. That's what good is. And can I tell you, so that there's none other but God? So obviously he's complete and sufficient in his kind. Having the physical qualities best adapted to its design and use. Can anybody think of a better fit for God than God? No, me either. Okay. Having moral qualities best adapted to design and use. Does God work in there too? Yeah, I think so. So God is good. And he does good. And he is good. And it's good because God is good. And it says the qualities which God's law requires. Is God virtuous? Therefore he's good. Is he pious? Therefore he's good. Okay? Is he applied in his person to being good? Yes, he is. Is he bad? No. Is he wicked? No. Evil? No. Therefore he is good. See, this is really easy. Thou art good and doest good. So David says, teach me thy statutes. Because I want to be good too. And I want to follow good too. And I want to do good too. And David says, hey, God, you are my basis. You're my baseline for life. You are good. You do good. That's what I want to be. Teach me thy statutes. In Psalm 25, verses 6 to 8, the Bible says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. You know, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. God is good. God is upright. And for his goodness' sake, he gives us mercy. He provides for us mercy out of his goodness. Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Hey, listen, we ought to know God is good because we've tasted of his goodness. Have you experienced it? Hey, listen, I could sit here and I could describe for you the most wonderful pizza in the world. I could. I've eaten it. I promise. If you've not, how many of you have been to Sicily? Okay, see, then I've tasted the most wonderful pizza in the world, and you haven't. Okay? Now listen, I could describe it to you, from the crust and the wood fire in the brick oven. I mean, real stuff. Okay, we're not talking about electric oven with a conveyor belt and all that jazz. We're talking about some little Italian or little Sicilian guy making pizza. Okay? And with like real like goat's milk mozzarella stuff. I'm talking like stuff that where the goat is going right over here. I mean, it's that good. Okay? That good. Yeah. And so all of this, I mean, I could describe it to you, but until you have a bite, until you taste and see how good it is, I'm not sure you'll be convinced. And yes, we've read in the Word of God and things, but listen, folks, remember what it was like to be saved. That moment when you trusted Christ and you could taste the goodness of God. Hey, I'm telling you, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 107, verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 118, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Go over to Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. How many of you are familiar with this story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? Right? Matthew chapter 19. I love what Jesus says here. Now, Jesus, I hate to use the word, but He's kind of toying with this young man. And not in a bad sense, but He's trying to make him think about his eternal soul. And look here, He says in verse 19, because obviously we know that God is good, therefore Jesus is good. Right? You understand that? Okay, but look here at verse 16 in Matthew chapter 19. It says in the Bible, and behold, one came and said unto Him, good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And He said unto him, why callest thou me good? See, that's where the tease comes in there. Okay, he's trying to get this young man to think about goodness and what the definition of it is. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You notice here, though, that Jesus said there's only one that's good. That's God. There's only one that's good. That's God. And by the way, I'm God, too, so I'm good, too. You understand? But three is one, and that's God is God, right? But you understand that Jesus said, hey, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. And really, the reason he said that is because the young man thought he was good. You know, good master. I'm a good man. I'm going to get to go to heaven. What good thing can I do to get to heaven? That was the whole premise of the whole thing. You understand, though, that Jesus showed him that he wasn't good. But God is. And God is the one that's good. Over in Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 8, the Bible says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, and there proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Go over to Romans chapter 2. I just want to just introduce you a little bit about the goodness. Introduce you a little bit about the goodness of God. Romans chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. God is good. Look at verses 1 through 4, chapter 2, Romans. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Oh, hey, you know what? The goodness of God is not for you to exploit. The goodness of God is not for you to take for granted. The long-suffering of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God is not just to write you a free ticket to anything you want in your life. Remember what the psalmist said? He said, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. God, I want to follow your laws. I want to follow your ways. I want to be good like you. Not be bad because I'm going to count on your mercy and forgiveness to bail me out. That's not what it's for. God is good to us so that we will be good. He wants it to carry on through our lives. Not to use as a ticket to sin. Not to use as an excuse that, oh, God is going to forgive me. No, that's not why. But rather, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You understand? That's why God is good to us. That's why he does these things for us, because he wants us to repent. He wants us to turn from our wicked ways and come back to him. That's what he wants. Why is God merciful to sinners, to the lost, so that they'll be saved? Why is God merciful to us who are saved that sin? Because he wants us to get right with him. That's why God is good to us. That's why God doesn't kill us the first time we tell a lie. That's why God doesn't kill us the first time we do this or do that. Because he is good. You know what? We likewise need to learn those things. So like the psalmist says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. I believe that David wanted to be a good king. I believe that David wanted to be a just king. That he wanted to lead God's people and do good to God's people for God's sake and for God's goodness sake. That God's name would be praised. God's name would be magnified. And folks, we need to live such a life as that. Knowing that God is good. Knowing that God is the one that does good. And we likewise should do the same. You know, God wants us to do good. He wants us to be good. There are so many things. The word good was hundreds of times in our King James Bible. And listen, I don't have time to go through all the things about being good. Just know that God is good and he wants us to follow his example. And that's what we should do. I think David had that in mind. So go back to Psalm 119, because when he says, thou art good and doest good, teach me thy statutes. I think that's exactly what he was thinking. When he penned those words, that God is good, therefore I should be good. And I'm going to follow his example. Look at verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Now, I know in my prayer, I think I said something about seeing something that's good and something that's bad and something that's different. I know you were going to think I was going to say ugly. Okay. Old Westerns. Anybody fan of Old Westerns? Okay. Yeah, my brother Rooster. Yeah, amen. You know what? I'll just tell you something. That's why I chose good, bad, and different. God is good. The proud are bad. Yeah, the proud are bad. God is good. The proud are bad. You ever heard this verse? Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan had an eye problem. Or should I say he had a pride problem. Yeah, that's the bad. Anybody think Satan is good? Okay, no. He's not. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Ezekiel 28, verses 14 through 17 say, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise have they filled in the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. You know what? Pride got Satan kicked out of heaven. You know what it was that Satan tricked Eve with? Pride. And ye shall be as gods. Hey? Yeah. That sounds pretty good. Doesn't it? Pretty tempting. It's pride. It says the pride have forged a lie against me. What does Satan say? Lies. How did he trick the nations? Lies. How did he deceive people? You deceive people with lies. That's what deceit is. You understand that the proud are bad. They're arrogant. They're haughty. They're daring. They're presumptuous. They are against God. Psalm 10, verses 1 through 12. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. The proud are bad. The proud are bad. They forge a lie against us. They are against God. Therefore, they are against us. If we are of God. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil pride and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 11:12. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well advised is wisdom. Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. But he will establish the border of the widow. Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proud or bad? They've forged a lie against us. And he says, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. You know what? In order to stand against these lies, we've got to be consecrated to God. We've got to be consecrated to God. We've got to be fully devoted to the Lord, neither giving place to the devil, not giving him a chance to sit on our shoulder and tell us these lies. We need to resist him and he'll flee from us. We need to be devoted like David was devoted to God. He said, the proud have forged a lie against me. They've tried to get me to come over to their side, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay with you with my whole heart. In order to stand against this, folks, we've got to be wholehearted with God. We have got to be. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Cannot serve two masters. We've talked about this before. We cannot listen to these lies and be swayed by them and serve God too. It's either whole hog or nothing. Well, we've got to be all in, don't we? Yeah. Hey, listen, don't test the water to see if it's fine. Just jump in. Yeah, don't believe the lies and don't kind of, well, oh, God didn't say he'd really take care of you. He didn't really promise it. Oh, he's wearing, no, I mean, yeah. Don't believe, just jump in. Jump in, the water's fine. It's right because God is good. He does good. He is good. He's not going to lie to you. The devil is. Yeah, he's not. But the devil is. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. Remember this morning we referenced back in the creation, right? His work of creation. What does Satan tempt Eve with? These things. These things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What's the will of God? How about this? I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. That's the will of God. That's what God wants us to do. That's what David was going to do to fight against the lies of the proud. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Here's what happens if we listen to the lies of the proud and not to God with our whole heart. James chapter 4, are you there? It's very interesting. Verses 1 through 10. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, that's kind of the embodiment of what David's saying here. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. God is good. The proud are bad. And then we have this interesting one, this unusual statement. Okay, you can call it ugly if you want to. I don't care. You can retitle it, Brother Losi, if you want. You can call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's fine. I call it the good, the bad, and the different, or unusual. But here it is. Back in Psalm 119, their heart is as fat as grease. That's an unusual statement. You can look up what that kind of stood for in the old days, but basically this, that there was a unteachable attitude of the proud. They had gone so far that they were unaffected by the judgment of God. Their heart is as fat as grease. Now, I'm usually a fan of fat. Fat is flavor. Okay? Yeah, it is. But you know what? Sometimes, with all that fatness, comes a little bit of a slowing down, clogging of the arteries, and subsequent death. Now, I understand this, and I still eat donuts anyways. But do you understand something? If we're not careful, this can affect us. It's affected the proud. It affected the heart of Satan. Was he a beautiful creature? Was he the covering cherub? Was he a wonderful creation? Did he serve a purpose for God and to God? Yes. Until what? Until he lifted up his heart in pride. And it kind of ruined things for him. Just like it can for us. He says, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. So how are we going to get rid of all that fat and grease and cholesterol and all that out of our lives? With the law of God. Yeah, it's kind of a cleanser. It gets all that out of there. It takes care and removes that stuff when we stay true to the law of God and delight in it. You know what? Do not become dull, heavy, stupid, and unteachable. That's actually a definition in the Webster's 1828 dictionary of the word fat. Did you know that? I thought that was very interesting because it fits perfectly with this idea. Because why else would he say their heart is as fat as grease? That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But their heart is slowed down. They're unteachable. They are not accepting of God's instruction. We need to learn to delight in the law of God, not to ignore it like those that are fat as grease. You understand? Go to Isaiah chapter 6. It's a very interesting correlation here. Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 9 through 12. Israel had this trouble. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 through 12. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. This is an interesting comment, isn't it? In Psalm 123, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud." You know what happens when we get filled with the world and the things of the world? Like it says there, that we read in 1 John and in James, we read about that and how that affects us and affects our heart and affects our lives and affects our service for God. It slows us down and makes us unteachable because we cannot love God. We cannot be with God because if we love the world, we're enemies of God. We cannot do this. Our heart will be as fat as grease. We'll be slowed down. In Psalm 73, verses 1 through 12, the Bible says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Their heart is as fat as grease." It is. Hey, it's a slippery slope that these proud and these wicked fall down and fall into. Psalm 17, verses 9 through 12, "From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, they are enclosed in their own fat." And that just sounds disgusting, doesn't it? "They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, as it were a young lion lurking in secret places." Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 26 to 28. You know the time that Jeremiah had trying to reach God's people. It was a horrible time. "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap and they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. They are therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge." We need to be careful. We need to be careful about this being fat as grease. How do we combat that? We delight in the law of God. We delight in the law of God. You know what it does? It alleviates the fatness. It takes care of that excess that's in our lives because we're walking on the path of God and not on the broad path of the world. You know, God wants us to follow after Him. You ever heard this in Revelation chapter 3? "And unto the church," unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest," here's the careful part. "Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. How are they going to get those things? By delighting in the law of God. That's how. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Yeah, repent. For the word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it do? Pierces to even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, right? Joints and marrow, soul and spirit. Got them out of order, I think. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Of the heart. You know what the word of God does? It cuts away the fat and gets to the heart. Hey, listen. We need to cut through the fat and get to the heart of the matter by delighting in the law of God. Go back to Deuteronomy. While you're going to Deuteronomy chapter 8, we've read this passage a few times over the last 7 months. While you're turning to Deuteronomy 8, I'm going to read to you Deuteronomy 32:15. But Jerushan waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Oh, Christian, don't get to that point in your life. Don't get to that point in your life where you forsake God because of the fatness of your heart. And you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verses 10 through 17. This is a warning. A warning to the people of God of the goodness of God. Is God good? Yeah, are the proud bad? Yeah, but their lies can overtake you if you're not careful. And you know what? When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord God, thy God, for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So right here, what does Moses tell them is a combatant for a fat, greasy heart? Keeping the law of God. Keeping the law of God. And what did the psalmist say? In Psalm 119, he says, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Delight in it. He says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, thou hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, that's pride, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, and do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Be careful. So go back to Psalm 119. The good. God is good. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The bad, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. And the different, or the unusual, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Folks, it's the wonderful word of God. I hope that you found these things interesting. I found them interesting as I began to look through what the psalmist was actually trying to put forth to us. We have to develop an awe and a wonder and an amazement for the interesting things in the Word of God. I don't know how many times you've read that passage and wondered what in the world does he mean by that. Because it is quite interesting. But it all goes together. And it has to do with God being good, the proud being bad, and not getting to a place where we forsake our God because of his goodness. And we don't listen to the lies of the proud that have ignored God and his goodness. We need to make sure that we avoid the snare of the proud. He's trying to catch us. Remember what he said in Jeremiah. They set a snare and set a trap. They catch men. That's what the wicked are trying to do. That's what the devil's trying to do. That's what the world's trying to do. But we've got to stay true to the wonderful Word of God.